Back in 1980, 70% of clothing worn by Americans was made by Americans. Today, it's 2%. And the reason is simple. It's cheaper to make things overseas. But that doesn't change the fact that 2% of textile manufacturers have refused to give up on this country. And those companies deserve to be congratulated. I'm talking about companies like American Giant. American Giant controls every link in their supply chain, and that matters because when you buy from American Giant, you create jobs for people in factory towns all across this country. Look, I get it. Nobody wants a lecture. But if you want to see more companies make more things in this country, you got to support the companies who are already doing that very thing. This holiday, check out the clothing at American-Giant.com. Flannels, hoodies, t-shirts, and jeans made to last a lifetime. Support the 2% who are still making it here at American-Giant.com.
Back to the Bald-Faced Truth with John Canzano on 750 The Game.
I think Sunday and Monday was spent with a lot of people staring at that bracket trying to figure out what it means. Craig Sankey is in Las Vegas, and he made his first comments after the bracket came out. By the way, he helped create this bracket. He helped create the format. He is now saying, quote, we see some stress points that we knew would be there and have a whole different dynamic. He will be looking at this. I think Sankey's declining to comment, just offering some limited thoughts about the potential changes for the format. I want to go to Big 12 country, and there's no better way to do it than bringing on Nathan Brown, Big 12 Mafia on Twitter. You can catch his show as well on YouTube and other platforms. Nathan Brown joining us. What was the reaction, Nathan, when the bracket came out from the average Big 12 fan?
Disappointment. There's no doubt about it. We wanted a second team in. I wanted that to be BYU, but they lost to Kansas, gave away that opportunity. And honestly, if SMU had won their game, the ACC would also only have one team in there. So it's got to change. I hope it moves to, you know, maybe 14 or 16 teams, but that's not even a fix. We need to get more objective and less subjective into the process.
Do you like the element of a selection committee made of humans? Do you prefer computers? Where do you stand on that debate?
I'm not totally against humans. Humans can intuit things, you know, see through numbers. But I would much prefer we get more objective. So stats, strength of record, strength of schedule, and publish that so everybody knows how they need to schedule their teams to put them in the best position to be successful when tournament time comes around.
NCAA basketball tournaments got controversy, of course. When the seedings are done, people complain, and then the games start on that following play-in and then Thursday, and everybody forgets about it. But do you think part of the problem, Nathan, was that they kept giving us these Tuesday night rankings releases, and did they add fuel to the fire, so to speak, in front of the ultimate reveal?
I mean, what is it? It was 6 weeks, right? I enjoy the buildup. I just want more objectivity in the process so that everybody knows where they need to be to get in the thing at the end of the day. Obviously, this was the first attempt. I think they'll make adjustments, and probably 2026, something will come around. But BYU beat SMU head-to-head. So it's kind of hard for Big 12 people to see that and say, yeah, we definitely think we should have been left out. So it's just one of these situations. They need to modify it, need to make it a lot more transparent, and just let everybody know where they need to be to get into the thing. At the end of the day, this idea of it doesn't matter who you beat, doesn't matter where you beat them, and you just throw all that out and you have this eye test crap, it's very difficult for somebody sitting on the outside to say that process was entirely straight up.
College Football Mafia Network, Nathan Brown, he runs the Big 12 College Football Mafia site and show. Nathan, at the beginning, maybe even last spring, when the distributions were announced for the CFP, and You know, you got 29% going to the Big Ten, 29% going to the SEC. Then all of a sudden it was 17% and 15% to the ACC and the Big 12. I scratched my head at that because I thought, hey, Power Four is Power Four. But now we see even the Group of Five champion, Boise State, you know, being seated above the ACC and the Big 12. Is there some concern in the Big 12 footprint that, hey, you're part of this thing, but you're being marginalized already by the SEC and the Big Ten, or is that overspeaking?
No, I think you're exactly right. Both the ACC and the Big 12 got that lesser proportion of the money, and I think right then everybody had an idea we may end up being here. If you expand the field a little bit and you give both the ACC and the Big 12 two slots, you give four each to the Big Ten and the SEC. I'm not happy about that, but I do think that's more proportional for how strong these conferences are. And again, you want to compare strength of record and strength of schedule. Any of the Big 12 teams that were there at the end fighting for those spots, all of them were higher than the strength of record and strength of schedule for Boise. And look, I'm a fan of Boise State. Always have been. Little engine than could. They earned being forward. But I still don't believe, and they would have to go undefeated to be ahead of a two-loss Big 12 or ACC team, in my opinion.
Do you think BYU's narrow victory over Utah stuck in the minds of the committee? And then they came out the next week and they lost to Kansas. And it just felt like, you know, they went from 6 to 14 after that loss, then 19, and then 18, and then the final ranking only at 17. Even with a expansion of the playoff, you'd still be, according to the committee, maybe on the outside looking in.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Yeah, I mean, even the ACC was treated a little better as you had Miami and SMU climbing the ranks. Look, the Big 12 did this to themselves. The ACC and the Big 12 cannot lose more than one game, or they have to win their championship game to be included in this tournament. And nobody, anybody reasonable that I've met or talked to doesn't agree with that process. So you're right, Utah took a lot out of BYU, that Kansas game, where there was a lot of letdown on that. But again, they turned around and played against ASU and couldn't quite make the game back. So at the end of the day, win your games, you should be rewarded. But a two-loss, big power conference, ACC, Big 12, should not be below any of the group of fives, unless, of course, they go undefeated. And then I think everybody knows how difficult it is to go undefeated.
Nathan, the tweaks that we may see to this tournament, you know that the ACC and the Big 12 probably not going to get their way, nor will the group of five. But the SEC and the Big 10 will want to expand this with the idea of getting more of their own teams in there. I want to focus on this tournament, though. Arizona State and SMU are interesting. Will BYU fans root for Arizona State because it's a Big 12 team? Will they root for SMU because, hey, they beat SMU in the early part of the season?
Between those two teams, everybody needs to be an ASU fan if you're a Big 12 fan. Bob Thompson, who I know you know, in conversations with him, I asked him several pointed questions, and the one that he said would make the biggest difference for the Big 12 is to get into the tournament and win a game or two, and do that year after year for two or three years, and that could begin to turn the Titanic away from the looming impending death that is coming after it. As the ACC and the Big 12 continue to be marginalized, it's very frustrating. Something needs to change. And the only thing that I can think of to do is get in the thing and then win some games.
Nathan Brown with us, College Football Mafia Network. He runs the Big 12 Mafia Twitter handle and hosts that show, does a great job with it. Nathan, you know, I want to pivot a little bit towards maybe what Brett Yormark can do next season. There's been some talk about, you know, can they do some scheduling things with the ACC? Can they try to create, you know, better strength of schedule? But, that also comes with risk. You lose those games, and now you're not in the tournament.
No, you're right. It's a two-edged sword. I think the ACC and the Big 12, at least as they're currently constituted, need to do everything they can to work together to increase their share, to increase their effect on the entire process. In my opinion, there should be a flex schedule at the end of the year that they go to a semifinal conference championship game round, and that would give an extra week for the people that are voting to say, hey, look what they're doing. They're trying to increase their own value by creating the semifinal before you get to the final at the end of the year. It's a little different than playing just a regular game, but just imagine if BYU would have been playing against against Iowa State at the end of the year, and Colorado got a chance to play against ASU again, and then the winners of those games, they're going to be higher rated because these teams would be ranked. And I think that's the easiest way to do it, internal, so you're not losing to these other conferences, and you can increase your share by bringing more attention to it.
Who's better off in this tournament? ACC's got two bids, no buys. Big 12's got one bid, but has the buy. Which of those conferences in the end is going to play deeper?
I think the Big 12 will. I mentioned this on Twitter. I'm not sure if you saw it, but I agree 100%. They got two teams in, the ACC did, but their draws are very difficult. So the likelihood that they'd make it out of the first round, in my opinion, would be less than 50%. So then the Big 12 plays the winner of a very difficult bracket, but I do believe ASU's built to give that team a run for the money, whoever it is. And so in my opinion, the Big 12 actually has a better chance to advance.
We are talking with Nathan Brown. I want to ask you a little bit from a Big 12 perspective. You know, the Pac-12 is trying to reconstitute. It would like to get, you know, the next best football conference after the Power Four and position itself with Boise State to have access. As I watched this 12-team bracket come out, I went, hey, this isn't a bad play. Because you watch, you know, teams like Arizona State and you watch teams like Boise State, you know, play, get seated above their ranking, really, and they have access. What is the Big 12 talking, or Big 12 fans at all watching what's going on with the Pac-12 with any kind of curiosity or fascination?
Of course, it's in the region, so you have to be. And I'm a Pac-12 fan. You and I have spoken about this. I want the Pac-12 to grow and be vital. Bringing in Boise State will certainly help that. But in my opinion, for them to really be that next best conference, they need to get four teams out of the AAC. Memphis, maybe USF, North Texas. These are teams that Tulane, that if they were in the Pac-12, that would be the next best conference, in my opinion. And now all of a sudden, they can make an argument they want to be a power conference again.
BYU, Colorado, in a bowl game now instead of the playoff. Coach Prime is saying his guys will play. BYU, how locked in will BYU be to this game and this matchup?
Very much. I think this will be the next best. This bowl game is setting up to have two teams that nobody's opting out for the most part, and everybody wants to win. It's going to be the antithesis to all the other bowl games that aren't in the playoff. I would tell everybody to watch this game. It could easily have 10 million plus people watching, and I think it's going to be a highly competitive ball game. What I really like is both Kalani Sitake and Dion both have the same feeling about their teams, and they both have that sense of we're doing it right. We're building a culture that will last a long time, and I think this game will show that. I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, and all these prior Pac-12 bowl affiliations makes a Big 12 versus Big 12 matchup in the Alamo Bowl happen. The Big 12 will get all of the revenue, so they will get the revenue from Colorado playing in this game. They will get the revenue from BYU playing in this game, and it'll be one of the more interesting bowl games. All right, hey, I really appreciate the work you do. For people who are interested in following Nathan's work, you can find him at B12 Mafia on Twitter, the Big 12 Mafia Twitter account. You can watch his YouTube show there. Nathan Brown, thank you, man. You're the best. Good luck to you in the postseason.
Hey, John, thank you so much for having me on. I really appreciate it, and I look forward to coming back.
Thank you. There he goes, Nathan Brown. I just want to get a little flavor. We're going to do the ACC. We're going to do the SEC. We'll get some Mountain West content. Big Ten, of course, we've got covered with Oregon. But we will span the globe on this show. Stick around. Our big splash is coming up.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like going to work on one Thursday morning and thinking to yourself, just one more day until Friday. But then somebody in the elevator says, Happy Friday! Then you check your phone quickly and discover today's actually Friday. So yes, Happy Friday, random stranger in the elevator. Happy Friday indeed. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.